Like to turn this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This will be the last message in this short and series upon the Lord's Supper. We have not gone into great detail. That was not the purpose. And next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we'll observe the Lord's Supper on Sunday evening. Thus far, we have seen Christ instituting the Lord's Supper with the apostles in the setting of the Passover meal. We've seen that the Lord's Supper is strictly and exclusively a church ordinance for the members of a local body of Christ. It is the second ordinance of the church, baptism being first, and that is the order of observance as well. The one is in preparation to the other. We've seen the elements of the Lord's Supper, our unleavened bread and wine. This also was seen very clearly from its connection with the Passover meal. Christ, in instituting the supper and in the use of the elements, made it distinctly clear that it is a memorial. In other words, it's a reminder. It commemorates the bloodshedding and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the work of the Lord in the redemption of our souls. It is in absolutely no way efficacious. It's for the purpose of commemorating. I'd like to read tonight in verses 17 through 34 of 1 Corinthians 11. Now in this that I declare unto you, it's writing to the church of Corinth, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, and they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, this bread, particular bread, this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup, again, very specific, of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the blood of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Now, it's easy to see that these verses are mainly a rebuke to the Corinthian church concerning their manner of observing and partaking of the Lord's Supper. He says in verses 17 and verse 22, I praise you not. So the purpose of this part of Paul's letter was not to give his approval, was not to endorse in any way or to support in any way what this church was doing with regards to the Lord's Supper. So he writes this portion of the letter for the purpose of issuing a very sharp reprimand, a very stern warning concerning their observance, concerning their partaking of the Lord's Supper. The text really reveals the seriousness of the matter, reveals the significance of how the supper is observed, how it is partaken of. It reveals that it does matter how the Lord's Supper is observed. So tonight we want to speak upon partaking of the Lord's Supper. Partaking of the Lord's Supper. We'll look first of all at Paul's rebuke. Again, we'll not go into great detail here, but it would take several messages to preach this text. We want to look at Paul's rebuke, and then we'll make application, how it applies to us today. Again, he's writing to a local church body. This particular church is located in Corinth. We see in verse 17, verse 18, verse 20, and verse 33 that they assembled together. They assembled together in one place. You can only assemble together in one place, by the way. We read those words, you come together. You come together. You come together. You come together. Four times. Our coming together as a church body ought to always be for the better and not the worse. He told them that they came together for the worse. But it ought to be always for the better. That is, for appropriate and useful reasons that have spiritual benefit. But in verse 17, he says, ye, the local church body at Corinth, come together not for the better. You assemble together, but it's really not good that you do. You do not come together for the better, but for the worse. Again, this is in the context of the Lord's Supper. It is in the context of observing the Lord's Supper. In other words, they're coming together in observing the Lord's Supper the way they were doing it, only aggravated, compounded, and intensified their worsening condition and led to further decline. That's a serious matter. When a church comes together not for the better, but for the worse. In verse 20, it is brought out that the church of Corinth, in their minds, were coming together to observe and partake of the Lord's Supper. But Paul says there in verse 20, when you come together, therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. What he's saying is, though this is your stated purpose, we are coming together tonight to eat of the Lord's Supper. He's saying, what I am telling you is there is so much disorder that in reality, you are not partaking of the Lord's Supper at all. You've so abused it. There's so much disorder. There's so much wrong that you're really, though you say you are, you're really not. That's what he's telling them in verse 20. And therefore, their coming together was not for the better, but it was for the worse. In other words, due to their condition, due to the manner in which they observed and partook of the Lord's Supper, it was not for their good, but it was for the worse that they partook of the Lord's Supper. I heard a man one time say, it's always good for a church to observe the Lord's Supper. Tell the church of Corinth that. It wasn't good for them. Paul said it wasn't. It wasn't good the way they did it. Was not good. What we see here is that there can be times for a local church body when partaking of the Lord's Supper may not be what's best. You come together not for the good, but for the worse. Now, in the case of the church of Corinth, Paul told them in verse 30, he says, for this cause, because of the manner in which you come together to observe the Lord's Supper, many are weak and sickly among you. And many sleep, or many have passed away. And in verse 34, it says that they were coming together under condemnation. That is, they're coming together and observing the Lord's Supper in the manner in which they were doing so just made them liable for punishment. They were putting themselves in a position of punishment. So this is a very serious manner, partaking of the Lord's Supper. In Paul's rebuke, we see he points out several very grave errors of the church of Corinth in their so-called observance of the Lord's Supper. Again, everything he says is in the context of the Lord's Supper. He says in verse 18 and verse 19, he says, for first of all, he says, let me start with this. He's reprimanding them. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. He goes on, he says, for there must be also heresies among you. So the first error that he addresses, again, in the context of this church coming together for the partaking of the Lord's Supper, was that they were not in unity as a body of Christ. It was a divided body. Said there's divisions among you. He addressed that in the very first chapter of the letter. And therefore, their observance and partaking of the Lord's Supper was not for the better, but it was for the worse. We see another problem, verse 21. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. Again, there's division. One is hungry and another is drunken. They were self-centered. They were operating individually rather than as a body of Christ. The Lord's Supper is not for individuals. It's for the body of Christ. It's for that local church body. We know individuals make that up. We realize that. But he's addressing here, you just made it an individual matter. And it's much more than that. So they were inconsiderate of one another. There was a lack of order. There was a lack of respect. We see in verse 33, "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." Tarry one for another. That wasn't there. They were just individuals. They were self-involved. Another error was that they treated the Lord's Supper as a common meal. Verse 21, he says, "For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in?" He says, you can do that at home. You've taken that which is sacred and you've treated it like a common meal. That was a very grave error. He said, "Despise ye the church of God? And shame them that have not." There were different classes of wealth, financial classes in this church. Some didn't have much. But others, they just brought their own meal. It was an individual meal. And again, it was just a common meal. They profaned it. That which was sacred, they took and treated it as if it was something they could just do at home. Verses 23 and 24, Paul refers to when the Lord instituted the supper. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." He reminds them again in verse 25, "This do in remembrance of me." And in verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So from all of that, we see there must be a proper attitude. There must be a proper spirit toward the Lord. It's in remembrance of me. You do show the Lord's death. So there must be a proper attitude. This is not a lighthearted matter. There has to be a proper spirit toward the Lord in partaking of the Lord's Supper. The church of Corinth did not have this. They did not have a proper spirit toward one another. They did not have a proper spirit toward the Lord. And that's why he reminded them when the supper was instituted. The Lord said, "Do this in remembrance of me." The supper, Christ was not the focus here in the church of Corinth. In other words, they were careless. And they had a very irreverent spirit as they approached the Lord's table. And Paul says, "I praise you not." And he says, when you come together, this is not for good. But this is for the worse. And as a result of their observance and partaking of the Lord's Supper in this way, again, it wasn't good. It wasn't for their good. Put them in a worse condition. In consideration of all this, Paul says in verse 22 that they lightly esteemed the church of which they were a member. He says, in your abuse of the Lord's Supper, it's not that they were using the wrong elements. They were using wine. They got drunk. They were using the right elements. That wasn't the issue. The issue was the way they were taking it, the way they were observing it. And he says, the way you do this, you despise the church of God. You think lightly of the church of which you are a member by not rightly partaking of the Lord's Supper. That's a serious charge, by the way. To despise the church of God, stop and think of what that is. That's the bride of Christ. It's thinking lightly of the bride of Christ. It's a serious matter. He goes on and he says, despise ye the church of God? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So again, their observance and their partaking, the way they were doing it, was not for the better, but it was for the worse. Now in our text, Paul warns them concerning the manner of their observance and partaking of the Lord's Supper. Notice in verse 27 and 29, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, this bread that is in remembrance of me, this cup that is in remembrance of me, whosoever shall drink it unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. In verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning, not considering. That's the purpose of the bread. That's the purpose of the cup, is to consider Jesus Christ. But the way they were doing it, they were not discerning. They were not considering the memorial, what this commemorated. Now, what we want to focus in on here in verse 27 and 29 is that word unworthily. Most, I believe, erroneously construe that word. They make it to refer to personal unworthiness of the participant. And I do not believe that's what it's talking about, and I believe we can prove it. They will say something like this. Well, I'm not worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper, or I do not feel worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. May I say this? One is never worthy. Never. There's nothing you can do to make yourself worthy. We're never worthy. What Paul is saying here is not a matter of personal worth for participation. It's very simple. This is very simply, very clearly seen in the words that Paul uses. He does not use the adjective unworthy. An adjective, of course, describes a noun, a person, place, or thing. He does not use the adjective unworthy. So he's not describing the person. He uses the adverb, describing the verb. He uses the adverb unworthily. Unworthily. You do eat and drink unworthily. It's the way they were observing the Lord's Supper was in an unworthy manner. He's talking about the manner in which they were observing. It has to do with the attitude in observing the supper. Again, it's to be careless. It's to be irreverent in coming to the Lord's table. And he warns in verse 27 that to observe and partake unworthily is to be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That is, this is a serious charge. It is to be guilty of treating the body and blood of Jesus Christ with irreverence and profaneness. That's serious. That's very serious. In verse 29, he warns, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. That is, he exposes himself to punishment from the Lord. Not discerning, not properly distinguishing the Lord's body. So in between verse 27 and 29, again, unworthily, that's describing the manner in which we eat the bread and drink the cup. And in between those two verses, in verse 28, he says, let a man examine himself. And let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let a man examine himself involves whether one is partaking. It does not involve whether one is worthy, because we're not. It involves whether or not one is partaking in a worthy manner or an unworthy manner. What we read in our text plainly reveals that the partaking of the Lord's Supper, again, is a very serious matter. And it is to be observed, it is to be participated in a very serious spirit and frame of mind. So that's the rebuke of Paul. Now let's apply it to ourselves. Again, the Lord's Supper is for a local church body. And it is of extreme importance that the local body be in unity. Paul addresses such in relation to the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 17, he says, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. We are one bread. That loaf represents the body of Christ, but it also represents we are one body. We are one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. And then in our text in verse 18, 1 Corinthians 11, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. So in the context of the Lord's Supper, he says you ought to be one body, one bread, one bread. That is, there were not to be separations. We're not to be partitions and estrangements. To observe and participate in the Lord's Supper in such a way, that is, with divisions, is to do so unworthily. To partake of the Lord's Supper with divisions in the church is to do so unworthily. And it's not for the good. It's for the worse. Church unity, and the importance of such, of course, is addressed throughout the New Testament. It is described as being tempered, framed, joined, and compacted together. It is described as being of one heart and one soul. That is, there's a feeling of attachment and tender care and sympathy and warmth. It is being of the same mind, one toward another. It is being of one accord, striving together. Ephesians 4, verse 13, it's referred to as unity of the faith. That means two things. It means unity in doctrine. It means unity in confidence in the Lord, faith. It is fellowship. It's not individual, it's fellowship. Ephesians 4, 3, it's the bond of peace. There's to be unity. And we are called upon to examine. That is, to inspect and scrutinize ourselves with regard to unity. Each one must examine themselves. Am I in unity with this body? Am I in unity with the members of this body? To what degree should that examination go to? Well, it would be comparable. Again, remember that the Lord's setting was instituted in the setting of the Passover. The examination would be comparable to the Israelites examining their houses for leaven. If leaven was found in the house, they were cast out. I've got to believe that those Israelites got on their hands and knees and searched every corner, searched every cabinet, searched everywhere for leaven. It was a very serious examination. Very serious. Again, we will partake Sunday evening, and it is the responsibility of each member to examine themselves. Not whether or not you're worthy, because you're not, but are we going to partake it in the way it's meant to be taken? Or are we going to do it in an unworthily way? To not partake of unworthily, there must be a proper attitude and spirit toward the Lord and the occasion. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, it is referred to as the communion of the blood of Christ. Also in 1 Corinthians 10, it's referred to as the communion of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21, it's referred to as the Lord's table. The Lord's table. That demands respect. That demands a proper attitude and spirit. It's the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians 11:20, it is the Lord's supper. And in verse 24 and 25 of our text, it is in remembrance of Christ and His body given for us and His blood shed for us. And also in verse 26, it is the showing forth of the Lord's death. And it's also a reminder, verse 26, of the Lord's coming again. So from all of that, we see that partaking of the Lord's Supper must be entered into with the right spirit, a right attitude. It's never to be entered into in a careless or lighthearted way. There's to be reverence. There's to be reverence. There's to be high esteem. There's to be honor, regard. There's to be awe, considering what is before us. And there's to be affection for the Lord. All of this means that there's to be humility of spirit. To come in a prideful way is to observe unworthily. To come in a wrong spirit is to observe unworthily. So it's to come in a spirit of humility. It's to come in a spirit of thankfulness. Also joy, but not lighthearted joy. Very deep-rooted joy. And praise and worship. And a spirit of submission. Now that, of course, we ought to come to the Lord's house that way every single time we come. But there is particular warning concerning having a wrong spirit in the Lord's Supper. Again, in remembrance of me. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, who is it that occupies our hearts? It's Christ. In remembrance of me. So it is Christ that is to occupy our hearts. It is Christ that is to occupy our minds as we partake. And if that's not the case, we partake in an unworthily way. And again, examine yourselves. That we partake with the right spirit, with the right attitude. Because if we, again, he makes it clear here in 1 Corinthians 11, we'll not spend the time, but he makes it very clear. Because to partake unworthily may endanger your health. May endanger your life. That's serious. That's a very serious matter. It must always be looked at in that way. Having said all of that, we don't mean to talk people out of partaking. We get right. It's that simple. Get right. Because we don't want to partake in an unworthily manner. So it's not whether or not I'm worthy, because I'm not, but am I going to partake in a worthy manner? Am I going to have a right spirit toward the other members of the church? Am I going to have a right spirit toward the Lord? And all the blessing of partaking of the Lord's Supper, fully aware of what it commemorates, fully aware of the seriousness of the matter. So all of that, again, we could spend a lot of time here in 1 Corinthians 11, but that's not our purpose. The Lord's Supper should be a time of intent, focus upon the Lord, Jesus Christ. A time of intent, perspective upon what the Lord has done for me. It ought to be a time of committing ourselves to the obedience and love and devotion to Him. Now, I'm a little different when it comes to observing the Lord's Supper. I do not believe that it should be just a regular church service. It's something very special. I believe when you assemble together for the Lord's Supper, as we read here in 1 Corinthians 11, that is why you assemble. Sunday night, we will assemble to observe the Lord's Supper. That is, this church as a body, the members of this church. That is the purpose of assembling Sunday night, to observe the Lord's Supper. We'll only have maybe two songs, one or two, to begin our services. Brother Larry will pick those songs. There'll be no offering. There'll be no message. The focus is on the Lord's Supper. That's the focus. That's why we assemble. We see in John that after they, or Matthew, after they observe, they sing a hymn. So there'll be a closing hymn. And then I believe that people should not stand around afterwards and talk about worldly things, or about anything else as far as that goes. But everyone should just leave. remembering, focused upon what you've done, focused upon what it all commemorates, the Lord. So the service will be different next Sunday evening, because we assemble together for the Lord's Supper. And I'm not condemning those who just included in the services. I'm not condemning that. But I do believe that this has very, very, very special meaning. And it is to be the center of focus, and nothing should take away from it. So we come, we ought to be examining ourselves all week, coming prepared to observe the Lord's Supper. Again, I'm as guilty as anyone. After a regular church service, we can talk about worldly things. I don't believe that's right either, but it happens. But we need to make sure that doesn't happen. When we come to observe the Lord's Supper, it is a memorial of Him. And we go home. Don't get in an argument with your wife or your husband. Think upon Him. That's what it's all about. So again, we thank the Lord that God has given us the privilege of observing the Lord's Supper. And that's what we'll do next Sunday evening. And again, I do believe that it's to be done in the evening, because that's when it was done in the Bible. In the evening. I'm not going to get all that upset if someone does it during morning service, but I just believe it should be in the evening, because that's when the Lord did it. I know this for sure. If that's when the Lord did it, it can't be wrong for us to do it that way. That I know for sure. I'm not saying it's wrong to do it in the morning, but I know for sure it's not wrong to do it in the evening. So let us examine ourselves. Let us thank God that He has saved our souls, that He sent Jesus Christ to die in our stead. And we do it as a memorial unto Him. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.